This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Good evening. What a day. What a time to be alive. It is a win. It is a win for AFC Wimbledon. A win for AFC Wimbledon. I'm going to repeat that. It is a win, fellas, for AFC Wimbledon without Wally. Do we read anything into this? Is Glyn Hodges the man to remain at the wheel from here on in? We're going to be getting into that. We're going to be getting into whether the tide has turned. We're going to be getting into whether Marcus Force has become the lone star to eclipse all other lone stars, in fact.
Mention him and I kill you, George. I'm not coming on the radio for the first day, first time this season, and the siren of the relevant goalkeeper who's always mentioned is going to be... He is not going to be set off.
I was teasing it.
Yeah, I know you were. You mention him, I slap you. So there we go.
He's getting a mention.
No, he's
I'm
not.
I'm sure he will.
Well,
I'm not going to say it. And those were, of course, the tones of Mark Hendricks and George Jones of the 9 Years podcast. Fellas, how carried away can we get in roughly, what, 57 minutes of one live and exclusive radio show here on Love Sport?
Go ahead, George.
It's mad. This is our first win.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. It's taken us 14 games since we last won, 160 days... Which I know we had 2 months where it wasn't a competitive fixture, but still, that long, it's mad that it's taken so long. You look at it, it was a good win. I mean, despite the fact we tried not to win in the second half. But I think we did well, we held on. And at 3-0 up after about half an hour, I didn't think I'd leave the game saying we just about held on and got a win.
Really?
Well, no, because I've seen this every game this year, so yeah, I was so kind true. Of expecting it.
So true. I mean, the second half, we capitulated
completely
again. It's kind of the story of the only difference is that between yesterday's match and other matches that we've been to this season is that we scored 3 goals in 36 minutes, was it?
Yes.
And that was the only reason why we won. Yeah. To take everything else from it, it was exactly the same as every other match we've been to this season. Great for the first half, more or less, and the second half, utter capitulation. And I don't want to take this away from the fans. The fans should be happy. And George, you should be ecstatic. You've witnessed a win for the first time in a goodness out an hour long. But it really is much of a muchness, unfortunately. And I'm going to be a voice of reason on this and say, yeah, we should be happy we won, but we've also got to keep our feet on the ground. It's only one win. We're still 3 points clear of the 3 points down below the zone. There's still a lot of work to be done. And I'm happy that it was such a close end at the end.
Ooh.
Because if we would have won 3-0, I bet some of those players would be just really quite cocky and going, yeah, see, we're all this and all that. And they would have come crashing back down to earth against Southend next weekend.
It is. And that's something that I've said with you on the show before. We needed that first win, had to be one where we held on. Because for confidence-wise, it's just something to make us think it's the first step on that ladder. And we need to build on that. We've got a winnable game next week.
But we didn't just hold on. That's the thing. We scored 3 goals, which was phenomenal. We didn't just hold on to a 1-0 win.
But that last 10 minutes was holding on. And that's what we needed. That psychology of holding on where we haven't sort of thrown away a lead.
Yeah, I'll grant you
we
that.
Nearly did that. And we held on and we avoided that. Psychologically, that's going to be huge for us this year. And we need to try and build on that.
I have to say, George, just before we do move on, well done, mate. Well done, you.
What have I done now?
Congratulations, mate.
Yeah.
There's someone who has said some pretty nice things about you, isn't there? And many others down over there at Kings Meadow. And he has got something to say.
It's a different class today. I think you get goosebumps, especially on the third goal in. You sort of get that buzz and it's brilliant to play in front of. Obviously, I understand when we haven't been winning games, it's difficult to try and stick with it. I do understand that, but these are probably some of the best fans I've played for, as in looking after the boys when we've got beat and things like that. So they need to stick with us and we'll always give 100% for them.
Some of the best fans I've played for.
Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. However, that answer preceded probably one of the most awesome Pravda questions I've ever heard in my life. And that was Rob Cornell saying, oh, you know, we put you in defence, but we did really well defensively. And it was like, hang on, Rob. I was thinking to myself when I heard that question, I thought, are you kidding me? We only just, they hit the post and the ball trickled across the line, went out the other side. They had a goal chalked off for offside. They scored one. They scored one in the 95th minute. It wasn't a very good defensive display, I'm afraid. And it wasn't at all a good defensive display. We were lucky.
And don't forget Nathan Trott's wonder save in the second half.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nathan Trott's wonder save as well. You know, made shows the weakness of the defence.
Yes, which meant us for 30 seconds forget all about our goalie from last season. So, you know, we did very well there. I haven't mentioned his name.
Because of
so
the
I
electronics. I'm not going to spill any water on you, George.
But, you know, it was an okay performance. We built on it. It was something we can encourage in. We were clinical for the first time this year. Every time we went forward, we'd look like we'd score. And that's the first time that's happened for us this year. And it's more than that. It's the goal scorers. There's people like Mitchell Pinnock getting his second in the two games he's been involved in the last sort of run of games for him. Paul Lossu, first senior goal in his second senior start after getting an assist last week. And he has won our 9 years podcast Man of the Match poll. And that's, you know, for him coming in, he wasn't in the picture at all last year. Wasn't involved so much early this year. He's come in and has done so well. And it's so encouraging to see people like him coming in, getting minutes, doing well. You know?
You are like a new man, George Jones. You are actually like a new man. You just walked up. You got a new shirt? You bought some new clobber, mate? Is that a new top?
No.
No?
No.
No, it's not a new one.
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well,
He buys it the day before it gets released.
I tell you what, priority. You're like one of those people who, when a new video game comes out, like the Call of Duty lot, they're like queuing up in the morning, waiting for the shop to open, so they're first one to buy it.
As I volunteer in the shop, it's not exactly like that.
Oh, right. Okay. So you probably get it for everyone.
You queue up 2 weeks before.
Yeah. I start queuing up after the last game of the season.
There you go.
Now, on the line, no surprises here. Mark from Bognor, a regular caller. He has to get on the radio for the first win of the season. Mark, how is one?
First of all, Jed, I just want to confirm, we did score 3 goals yesterday. That wasn't a dream, and we did win a game.
Huge.
I just want to confirm that. Right, we did.
We're all pinching ourselves. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I've got to be honest with you. I probably slept pretty well for the first time in ages. I couldn't stop smiling, thinking we've actually won a game. And I suppose, you know, when we were 3-0 up, I was thinking we need at least another 4 or 5 just to be safe, and then they scored, and everyone was, you know, squeaky bum time. But we got the win, which was good. I mean, I suppose the question I want to pose to George is a little bit of a multi-part layered question. It is now obviously Glenn's come in, and obviously we had the Peterborough game, and obviously we lost now. But Glenn brought in different. You know, he brought Mitch Pinnock back in. I had words with him, and obviously, you know, the game changed, and we seem to be a bit more attack-minded now. Is this what Wally... I'm going to ask you a question, George. Do you think this is the question what Wally has been working to all along, or is this is Glyn's team now playing?
I think this is very much Glyn's team coming in. You look at it, Wordsworth was injured. He would have definitely come back in under Wally. But Pinnock was in the wilderness under Wally. He wasn't getting any minutes at all. He's come in, got 2 goals in his 2 games. Like I said, Paul Lossu's come in the 2 games under Glyn's control and has done well with Nestor Guinness-Walker on the bench. It's definitely a Glyn team that we're seeing at the moment. And it'll be interesting to see how that shapes going forward.
Do you think the same for Sanders as well? Because I think we all thought when we had the 3 loanees, we thought that Force and Sanders would start and then Delaney would... He'd be the sort of the cut.
Delaney was ineligible for the match anyway. So.
Oh, no. Yeah, I knew that, Mark. I was just sort of saying, thinking about sort of going forward. You know, how much do you think, because obviously when Sanders came in, we all thought he was going to walk straight in and then he sort of was only seemed to be sort of fed a bit part.
Surely going forward, though, with respect to him, Mark, surely going forward, we need to wait until we find out what happens to Wally.
Well, that's my next question.
Yeah.
I was going to lead into. So I'd be very interested to see, let's play devil's advocate, and just say Wally does come back. I'd be very interested to see what happens, because, you know, to define the difference between Glyn's team and Wally's team. Now, obviously, I kind of like Glyn's team from what I saw at Peterborough. I know.
Let me pose this to you then. What happens in order for Wally to come back?
Oof, I'm beginning that. I don't know. I don't know. Obviously, I don't know the ins and outs of the clubs. Obviously, I'm only a fan. I don't know. You know, I read on the initial social media. I must admit, I haven't. I know there's been lots of comments and some sort of negative comments, but I've ignored those. I'm just waiting for an official statement from the club to say Wally's coming back. Wally's not coming back.
I think everyone's going to be in the wilderness, and we're not really going to have much of an answer. If Wally comes back, then he comes back. So be it. If he is shown the door and said with a pat on the back, saying thank you very much, but you broke the rules. That's the way it goes. Then Glenn will take over.
It does come in with an interesting if Wally comes back, and I think it's a very big if at this point.
It's a huge if.
But if Wally does come back, does he play Mitch Pinnock, who he has sort of thrown aside and almost...
No, he's you know that. The guy, Wally is very, very, very to the point where he sticks by his guns. He's never going to...
But that would be the thing, because Pinnock's come in, done so well, changed our season around with him and Wordsworth in the two games they've played.
We've only just won one game. We lost the other one.
I'll tell you what, fellas...
Performance in the second half against Peterborough was game-changing.
I think I'm going to agree. This is what my question to you is. I don't really expect an answer from either of you guys. It was just a thought to say, you know, playing devil's advocate, while he does come back, what's he going to do? Because obviously, there's obviously, again, I don't speculate into looking into those things. You know, Mitch Pinnock was clearly not one in Wally's plans. You know, you've got like Shane McLaughlin, bought in by Wally. We only seem to see him at like the Surrey Senior Cup, and then we see him at the Checker Trade Trophy. I mean, it's all these ifs and buts, we don't know why. So it was just a question to you guys. I didn't expect you to know the answer. It was just playing devil's advocate.
Absolutely, Mark. And I have to say as well, buddy, you came on the line about 3 or 4 weeks ago, whenever it was, and let's not beat around the bush, you were beside yourself. You even admitted, you know, you were almost close to tears on that phone call. I really feel a different buzz from you today.
Yeah, I do. I must admit, it's just, you know, I wasn't at the game. I had family commitments and my phone kept buzzing 3-0. And
that's
I really
why we won.
People taking the mickey. I thought people were taking the mickey out of me, and then I was like, we need, and then me being still the negative, I said, right, we need at least another 5 or 6 just before I can actually be safe. And I was actually trying to do something, but in the end, I just kept gluing to my phone, and I was listening to a bit of an iFollow, and I was thinking, which is going to be quicker? Are they going to, someone going to text me to say something's gone on, and then is someone going to get it through iFollow? So I am happy. It is a very big week. I know people don't like the leasingtrophy.com, but you know, winning, I think if we were to win that game, we then go into Southend full of confidence.
We've got Leighton Orient right over the top before that, which
that's what I mean.
I know it's the leasing dot, we don't know why really want to follow you trophy, but it's still nonetheless, we've got to go baby steps here. And it's wonderful, as I said right from the top of the show, it's wonderful that we won a game, but we've just won a game and only just won the game. Let's be realistic. So let's not get ahead of ourselves and let's not run before we can walk. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done with this team. And whether Glyn's going to be the right guy to take us forward or whether Wally's going to be the right guy to take us forward if and when he does come and take us back, that's another matter. But front and foremost, we've still got a team that decides to capitulate in the second half, gets very much in their own heads, very much more defensive, much more falling back towards our goal. We are giving the opposition much more of the ball in the second half, week in, week out, still. So we won 3-2. Yeah, wonderful. 3 points on the board. One under the W line, so to speak. Great. But let's see what happens next week, because Southend are due a win, and that's not really great omens for us now, is it?
Mark, I'm sorry, Matt. I'd love to hear your answer. Perhaps you can give us a call next week when that game goes on. We've got to move on now, but thank you very much for calling. We will definitely speak to you again. That was Mark, Wimbledon fan from Bognor, and this is the AFC Wimbledon fan show on Love Sport.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
I mean, the key was confidence. You know, we could take the 45 minutes. I know people are saying it's 2 halves and we're not great in the first, but some stuff in the first half at Peterborough we did well. Second half, I thought it was exceptional. So it was building on that performance, getting key players back and encourage them to get on the ball and move it quickly. And I felt that we were very positive with our play, and we asked a lot of questions and got our just rewards.
That was Glyn Hodges, of course, speaking after the first victory of the season, that we're not getting carried away with at all here. on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport with the guys from the 9 Years podcast, Mark Hendricks and George Jones, joined by me, Matt Beadle. That was Glyn Hodges, the interim manager, as it were, because Wally Downs isn't yet back in his post. Fellas, you know more about this than me. Where are we at? Because as I understand it, there was supposed to be some news this week, right? But it's not quite come through.
So yesterday was his official deadline to respond to the FA on the charges of the betting on football matches. As of yet, we don't know the outcome of that. However, there are lots of rumours all around the ground yesterday about what the outcome is going to be, you know, broadly along the same, all along the same lines.
Is this people in the know? Is this Chinese whispers? Is this theories that people are coming up with?
A mixture of everything. Some from people who probably do know what's happened and some people who don't know. Like there's a, you know, but it's going to be one of these where we won't know the full truth until the FA report comes out. And that probably won't be for a while, and the club will have probably already actioned by then whatever they're going
to
do.
So, to summarise, mm-hmm. Chinese whispers.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure many, many Where's Wally memes have probably been going around. It's going to be the headlines everywhere. There has been one particular tweet that's caused a bit of friction, a bit of tension. Some people have supported it, and this is from ex-Wimbledon player Vinnie Jones, who has said, and I'm going to read it out, as my pal Wally Down waits to see what will happen tomorrow, let's hope AFC Wimbledon makes sure it's dealt with the right way and the Wimbledon way. We look after our own. The crazy gangs stand by each other through thick and thin, side by side in the trenches. Dave Bassett and myself are side by side with Wally. Who else is? Club owners have short memories. Well, I'm making the point that this is the same manager who unbelievably kept the Dons up last year. Mm-hmm. I hope the board are true to its own and support the real legend of the Wimbledon fairy tale, who is Wally Downs. I'm presuming that the end bit is not a question. He hasn't forgotten the question mark. Who is Wally Downs? Well, yeah, isn't that who you're talking about, Vinny?
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have a clue. No. Look, I love Vinny as much as the next fan. I really do. But this is one of those situations where you just got to go, Vinny, to be honest, buddy, the hold back, right? Because you're kind of condoning, possibly, breaking the rules is okay. You know, you're saying, yeah, if you want to put down some bets as a manager, let alone a player, but as a manager, you want to put down some bets, that's allowed. No, it's not allowed. Vinny's a lovely man. He's very charismatic, but I've seen him at King's Meadow. I think I can count on one hand. If he wants to be more involved with us, maybe he should make an appearance or two more and voice his opinion actually at the stadium a bit more. I love the guy, seriously. I have loads of time for him, but on this matter, no, I'm sorry. He should keep his that kind of strong language to a minimum. Trying to put pressure on the board for his mate doesn't wash with me.
Is that the general consensus, George, then, at Wimbledon? Because from the outside looking in, everybody just goes, Vinnie Jones, Wimbledon legend, loved by the fans, loved by the club.
I think the fans are split on whether what we should do with Wally in the first place. But they're also split because a lot of players who are very good mates with Wally have all come out with stories along the similar lines of stick by him. And I'm just interested to see, is this line coming from Wally? Is he getting his mates to tweet something out or put something in the papers trying to support him and put pressure on the club to keep him? Because if that's the case, that's out of order. And the fan base are split on that. And just like they're split on whether he should come back in the first place. But like Mark said, has he broken the rules? Yes or no? And if it's a yes, I can't see a way back for him at our club.
We don't 100% know, and this is quite key at the moment, We don't 100% know the intricate details of exactly what's gone on. We know that he's been charged by the FA. He has had time to respond. Like you said, that was yesterday. We don't know whether he has actually responded. Yesterday, was it yesterday or Friday?
Friday.
It was Friday. He hasn't. We don't know whether he's responded. So we don't know the proper ins and outs of it, so we can't pass complete judgment there. But you're right. Betting is ultimately not allowed in the game.
No, it's not. And especially if it's a manager. What kind of precedent does that set for his players, for his staff, for anyone who's studying the badges under his eye? Look at John Meads. I mean, he's probably doing his badges right now, right? Yeah. And under actually, grand scheme of things, underneath Wally. Wally's the top dog there. And if he's the one who's breaking the rules, okay, maybe he didn't necessarily break the rules as many times under the run, well, when he was our manager, compared to when he was in India or were at QPR. He may have put down few more bets in that time rather than at Wimbledon. But nonetheless, he's still breaking the rules if he has put down those bets at those times.
So hypothetically speaking, say that, I don't know, it comes up with a a five-game ban, right? Say they're saying, right, we're banning you for five games, you can't be in the dugout. We'll push the Football League trophy aside, right? So you beat Southend.
I think everyone pushes the Football League trophy.
You beat Portsmouth, you beat Burton and you beat Lincoln. What then? And then he comes back. I mean, what would happen?
I don't even think it's that. I think if there's any ban, it doesn't matter whether it's 5 games or 5 years.
He's broken the law.
If he's broken the rules, the laws of the game, and broken the rules and got banned by the FA.
Let's get rid of laws of the game part. He's broken. Let's put down in football, it is the law, right? In football, it is the law. If I break the law on the roads, I get my license taken away. I'm not going to sit back into a car. I'm not going to have anyone saying, hey, here are the keys to my car. You can drive it, Mark, because that's just not going to happen.
So
if you've broken the rules, you've broken the rules. You've got to suffer the consequence, I'm afraid to say. And that's just my opinion on it.
And so as fans, in terms of being moral and principled, do you feel strongly enough about that? If Wally Downs was to come in and if you were to evaluate everything and think, you know what, he's still the right man for the job, would you say, yeah, but he's done something that's wrong, so we don't
want
him?
What precedent does it set for the next guy?
But also, we've been in this boat with Wally before when he came in with the Twittergate scandal when he came in.
Sorry, that was pony.
I know it was a different thing.
That was just a choice of words, which is very stupid and everything like that. This is actual going against the rule book.
I know, but again, it's the story of the argument could be when the club investigated that, because the club did delay the appointment to look into those tweets, because that was the official statement at the time, they must have asked him, is there anything else we need to know? And depending on how he answered that, if he said there wasn't anything else the club needed to know, and it turns out there was...
Hypothetical, George, it's a very strong...
I know it's a strong hypothetical, but if that was the case...
Well, surely, then he's got no leg to stand on.
Yeah.
And I just want to repeat, these are allegations at the moment. And that was reiterated, obviously, in the club statement that the trust boards are going to look at the allegations more closely and make a further announcement.
Hey, don't get me wrong, I'm a great fan of Wally's. For what he achieved last season is nigh on a miracle. But again, if it looks like a duck and sounds like a duck, it's not a giraffe. If he's broken the rules, he's broken the rules, and I'm sorry. I would not expect to get any different treatment than the next guy. Mm-hmm. Why should he? It pains me to say that, but it's just how it is.
But also, with the Vinnie Jones tweet, going back to that, and he was saying Wally should they should stand by him for what he did last year, then we're in a position of basically saying it's okay to break the rules if you're doing well. And that's a dangerous precedent for the club to set, let alone any FA punishment or anything. If the club say you're winning games, we'll let you get away with
it. Do you think Vinnie actually tweeted anything about how it was all right that Leeds United was spying on Derby?
Well, Leeds have won the FIFA Fair Play Award, so it evens out.
They have, yes. Marcelo Bielsa and Leeds United have won the FIFA Fair Play Award. Quite interestingly, we do a Leeds fan show, and their views were quite interesting on that one, as were the views of the fans of Derby County as well. This is Love Sport, of course, the AFC Wimbledon fan show on Love Sport, and you can get in touch with us if you want to agree or disagree or put a question to both George and Mark, just like Mark from Bognor did, 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well, or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. I'm going to move back to Marcus Force here because we also do a Brentford fan show. And I've got to tell you, they were thinking that maybe, they made a mistake. Even though Ollie Watkins last weekend was the top scorer in the Championship, they were thinking, have we made a mistake in letting Force go on loan?
Yeah, they have.
They have. He, without a doubt, you can see any time he plays, he's levels above us and levels above League One teams. He scored 4 goals in pretty much as many games. I think he's had 10... half the stat was correct as of half-time on Saturday. It's probably changed since then. But as of half-time, since he joined us, he had 10 shots, 6 on target, 4 goals. And in League One, that means you're a Championship-quality striker. Marcus Force is levels above us. We're very lucky because he hasn't been called up by Finland.
He's the Championship player that Neil Ardley was talking about, isn't he?
Yeah, let's not comment on that.
he's the Championship player that we should have had 2 seasons ago, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, there you go.
But we're lucky he hasn't been called up for Finland under-21s or the Finnish senior side, which means that we get him... Their squad came out this week.
Yeah.
I know, but it means that...
If he carries on, he will.
Yeah, he's been called up for them in the past, but it means he's eligible to play next weekend against Southend, which is going to be huge for us, because we saw what happened last week when we missed him, how ineffectual our strikers were. The fact that he's come in and was so clinical, and he was, in my opinion, unlucky not to make our three.
Imagine we would have to play with the other Championship striker up front, you know, and Kwesi I'm talking about here. Imagine we would have to play against Southend.
Yeah, no, that doesn't even bear thinking about.
It would make you consider twice buying a ticket, wouldn't it, George?
Not for me, but...
No?
Not in a million years
I think
would
I would,
George Jones
I think it
consider.
Would be very much just me in the ground if that news broke before kickoff.
I do have to say, though, this chap could well be, depending on how results go towards the end of the season, this could be the difference in you staying in the division.
Definitely.
Having a striker as lethal as what we're seeing with Marcus Forss
well,
at the moment.
It's because of the fact that he has no fear.
Yeah.
I noticed this as well, is that he doesn't overthink it. He sees the goal in front of him. If he's got a strike on him, he's going to go, oh, well, you know, I'm going to have a pop.
The other
strikers that we've got at the moment, they're thinking too much. Mm. They're trying to walk it in. But whilst he's just like, well, I see the top corner, I'm gonna hit top bins me in a Finnish accent, which I can't do.
I think the main problem with what he's done so far is the fact that he will be into double digits before the end of the calendar year. I think that's fairly
certain.
Oh,
he's calling it.
He's on four already. I reckon he will get at least another six before the end of December. And the main worry for me is then Brentford.
And then he'll get recalled.
Then he will get recalled, like Mark says. And that's going to be what's going to hurt us. We got lucky last year when our two key loanees came in the second half of the season, so they couldn't be recalled once they hit form for us. I worry that Forss and Sanders, if he does well at for us on loan from Brighton, whether they could go back in January. Because that would limit us, because I think if they both go back, it's very hard to see us have any chance of staying up.
Well, it's not like the club not to tell us information about certain people's loan contract details, is it?
No, that's never happened before. That's not an issue.
Right, there you go.
I love the way you bring up a point, Mark, and George just sort of just dumbs it down. Let's move on, shall we? You can just see it in his face. And we are going to move on. We've barely scratched the surface on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport. Plenty more coming up.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport. It's the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show with me, Matt Beadle, and the guys from the 9 Years podcast, George Jones and Mark Hendricks. And I've got to say that I'm cracking into some lovely cake here because it's been brought in by Mark, which is absolutely delightful. Mark, can you just explain what is standing in front or sitting in front of me right now?
It's just a German apple cake, really.
A German apple cake. And you've made this for a particular reason.
Yeah, because we won a game. No, because I've stopped smoking. Stopped over, kicked in. I'm moving to Switzerland. I had a look at a couple of schools. I was walking up some hills. I was out of breath. I was done for. I've decided enough's enough. I'm going to now. I've smoked for half my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's, whoa. Let me think. That's like 17, 18, 20, almost 20 years too many of smoking. That's just done me. I'm done. I needed to do something with my hands and I baked a cake.
And I'm more the better for it. I tell you what, I'm absolutely starving tonight. So this German apple cake is going down a right treat.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'll
quit smoking, bake cakes.
I'll send you the recipe. It's so easy.
Lovely.
So easy.
Yeah. Well, on a footballing note, there is something... Well, there's plenty more to discuss, gents. I just want to touch on the fact that the scoreboard, it worked.
Yes.
Hurrah. I mean, what a weekend.
Yeah.
It keeps giving.
Yeah, it's the best weekend in the club's history. We've got a scoreboard for the first time in several years. We've got a proper scoreboard.
That works.
Chelsea have paid to install a proper scoreboard that you can put graphics on and it works. I can't believe it works. I'm still sort of shocked that we actually have a working scoreboard.
Are we looking at HD here or is this sort of a bit of a...
It's a proper... It's a HD, proper, full-on Premier League style scoreboard.
Really?
Yeah.
From where I was sat, it did look a bit pixelated.
Yeah, that's because I haven't installed it properly yet.
So it did work, but it's still not fully installed.
Yeah.
When are we going to get there? Is this baby steps or what?
Probably the day after we move out, they'll properly fit it and make sure it's working properly.
Okay.
Sorry. Brilliant. It's just so typical. But anyway, right.
On one hand, you give us, George. Yeah. And on the other... You take it, but hey,
Wembley, it ain't.
We're talking stadiums.
Yeah.
A new stadium update.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
The new stadium update is for the first time this week. It looks like it's actually being built. The metal framework for the main stand has gone up, and it's been a real positive because the start of this week, obviously, we just lost to Peterborough. Our manager was sort of on FA charges. You know, this is something that it gave us a positivity boost going into this weekend's game that we really, really needed. The Cedars fundraising campaign ends on Monday. We still need a lot of money to go into that, so you know, donate if you can. But this is
have you donated, George?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think there's ever any question that George Jones
have
has donated.
Matt?
Sorry.
Have you donated?
I don't feel like I can comment on such a. I don't know whether it's illegal for me to donate, but the position.
No.
There's only allegations.
Anyone can donate as long as you don't donate via a. betting company whilst being a manager.
Right, OK. I will definitely look into this. George, you'll have to send me the link, mate.
Yes. This, you know, going back to the stadium, it's so, so good that it's been built. It's we're starting to see it come up now. And for the first time, for me anyway, it's the first time it feels real. It's the first time that it feels like at the end of this season we'll be out at King's Meadow and we'll be going to Plough Lane. And for me, it's the first time that's really setting up. We have only got sort of 10, 15 games left at King's Meadow.
No, it's going to be more than that. But let me ask you, George, because you're one of the few who know Wimbledon as only King's Meadow. And you never experienced Wimbledon in Plough Lane, Merton, let alone when we were back in Selhurst, something else. How does this make you feel? Excited or nervous or what for Wimbledon to be going back?
It's a head and heart thing because my head is so excited for that we're going back. We need corporate facilities because King's Meadow is nowhere near suited for a football league stadium, let alone League One or sustainable League One club. So that part of me, I'm really excited because this has to move. Something had to happen for us and I'm glad this is happening. However, my heart, like you said, I've only ever known us at King's Meadow.
Yeah.
So for me, there is a part of it of like leaving your child at home. Right. You know, it is something that we are going to miss terribly, but we just have to hope it turns out for the better because that's all we can do, really.
When you say we, you're talking about the younger generation of fans.
Yeah.
With respect to,
yeah.
I don't mean to...
Yeah,
resentment is probably the wrong word, but there's no sense of, oh, you didn't know what it was like back in the day.
No, far from it. Do you mind me asking, who do you support?
I live in East Dulwich, so I often go and watch Dulwich Hamlet.
Okay, fine. So, but you've never experienced a move?
No, absolutely not. No, okay. I mean, Hamlet have had their trouble in recent seasons.
Arguably, we've had it three times, right? I mean, you know, leaving Plough Lane to go to Selhurst and then what happened to 50, 60, 70 miles away and then now King's Meadow as well. You know, arguably, you can have it on that front. I remember Plough Lane, but, you know, as a speck of my mind. Majority of my supporting career was in Selhurst. And then for that to happen with 2001, it was actually coincided when I moved to Berlin and I wasn't really around for that much of it. That's aside. For me, it's an excitement for Wimbledon to be back in Wimbledon. That's it.
Mm.
Because Wimbledon playing in Kingston just doesn't have the same ring to it.
No.
So it would be like Dulwich playing in Peckham, right? It just doesn't have the same feel. So, and I can see where George is coming from, where it's like, wow, you know, this is the one place that I've known and this is where I want, you know, for the first few weeks when we go start playing at Plough Lane, it's not going to be at the beginning of next season, George. You can relax on that.
Yeah. No.
It's just never going to happen.
Oh, no.
But I think that is an
interesting
point.
You're going to realise when you're driving to Plough Lane, you've taken a wrong turn, you're still driving to King's Meadow. For the first few games, you're going to be doing that. And you're going to go, oh, no, hang on, I've got to go the other way. You know, and it's going to be a bit of a different setting. But I can tell you now, absolutely, hand on heart, I can tell you now, when you set foot in the new stadium for the first game, all of your worries are going to be quashed. You're going to have a great time.
Well, it just depends on how much of it is actually finished by the time we move in.
I agree with Mark there. I completely get where you're coming from and the fact that you supported Wimbledon your whole life at King's Meadow. But is Plough Lane almost a bit like a fantasy to you in a sense? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's this place that you've heard of that existed back in the day.
Yeah, because I never went to...
There be unicorns.
I never went to Plough Lane. I don't remember going to Selhurst.
Yeah.
So for me, this is, you know, this mythical promised land that we were told existed.
There be unicorns.
But I don't have any... I don't know it. So for me, it's an unknown thing that we're going into.
Yeah.
And it needs to be done properly because otherwise it will do long-term damage to the club.
No.
And it's important that young fans feel listened to.
You say it's got to be done properly. Can I ask you a blunt question? Yeah. What is not properly, in your perspective?
In my opinion, it's just moved in and people try to pretend it's old Wimbledon at Plough Lane. We need to make sure that it's... Because I think there's a real risk here of our AFC period of our history.
No, but that won't happen.
I know, but...
That can't happen.
I don't think it will. But I'm saying that I think...
But you just said a second ago that your fear is that it will.
I know, but... I think,
now you say you can't. Now it can't.
I think it could happen. I don't think it will, but it could. And I think that's something that we need to make sure.
No, because the supporters are what the club is.
Yeah.
And, with respect, George, You're talking about, and all respect to the fair few listeners tonight who are the old Wimbledon FC fans, I'll include myself on this, but you're talking about a very small percentage right now of the fan base who think when we move into Plough Lane, we're going to be Wimbledon FC again.
No.
No.
No, I don't think we will. What I'm saying is there is a portion of people who want to go back to the sort of an old-style badge. We saw that when we had the debate last season about changing the crest.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who want to drop the AFC and go back to Wimbledon FC. We know that from discussions on various forums and message boards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important we remember the AFC period.
Why wouldn't we?
Because I just think there are some people...
What's the name of the club?
No, because I'm saying some people want to change that. Some people do want to go back to being Wimbledon FC.
They're such a small minority.
I know.
You don't need to worry about
it. I know.
You're making a mountain out of a molehill.
I know, but I think it's
relax.
Just, it's just something that we need to bear in mind.
We're going to pastures new. We're going to a lovely new stadium. We're going to have fun.
Yeah.
I'm not going to necessarily perhaps be in the country anymore. But I'll fly in and watch occasionally. But seriously, it's going to be great.
I know.
Relax.
But see,
it's all good.
I think some of our fans who have the attitude of "Don't worry, Plough Lane will be this amazing, awesome thing." It needs to be. Expectations need to be tempered, because this is something.
Well, actually, that starts off with the club stop promoting that picture.
Yeah, I know, and that is something that they really need to do. And I remember it was one of the last things Eric went on about before he left was that we must stop using this photo
graphic.
Of the 20,000 capacity Finnish stadium. Because it's not going to look anything like that.
No, but...
And you've waited long enough, right? So if there's a little bit more of a wait, that's not a problem,
yeah.
I don't think, but...
I think that does raise an issue, because you're right. Both of you have mentioned, you know, a little bit of a wait here, and I can't see it being ready for the start of next season.
Nah.
And this is something that, you know, can we play at King's Meadow for another month or 2 months at the start of next season, or do we have to go somewhere else?
The issue about finding a place, I think we're going to have to find a place. Because let's say we start selling season tickets to 7,000 people, for example. 7,000 people come along and say, "We want to. You're moving back to Merton. I'm interested. I live in Earlsfield. I live in Tooting. I live in God knows where. I'm interested in having a season ticket." And then it transpires that we do not have the stadium ready for 7,000 people. We can't stay in King's Meadow, which has a capacity of 4,800. Because that means that something in the region of, and I'm really bad at maths, so 3,200, won't have the capability of actually entering into the stadium. So we'll have to move into temporarily. But there are enough places in London, certainly in south or west or southwest London, where we can just quickly for a fair few games just go, "Can you put us up?"
Yeah.
And they will.
I know, but that's the thing, because it will. Some of our fans will have
What's
a problem.
What's the capacity of Dulwich?
To be fair, do you know what? I wonder how that would go down. No, I don't really think that one would work too well, especially not for George. You'd probably enjoy it there for one game. I will say, we've got to move on, and we're going to move on to the clash with Southend next week. But before we go, if there is a big welcome into Plough Lane for you, George, will there be a big farewell to King's Meadow?
I hope there is.
And there better be.
Because that's what I'm saying. It's important that the AFC era so far is commemorated. Because you look at where we were in 2002 to where we are now, that portion needs to be celebrated, because it's King's Meadow that's got us to where we are. It's held us back a lot in the last few years, but it's got us where we are today. And we do need to have a proper goodbye ceremony to King's Meadow, and that's why I think it's so important that we decide very early on, or as early as possible.
As long as we don't use fireworks, because knowing AFC Wimbledon, will use the fireworks and it will all go wrong and we'll end up burning the whole place to the ground.
Chelsea own it, now who cares?
We'll have to pay them.
I already have an image of George leading the fanfare, bashing his big cymbals together. Right, it's the AFC Wimbledon fan show on Love Sport. We're going to be looking ahead to the Southend game next week.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
It's the AFC Wimbledon fan show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from the 9 Years podcast, Mark Hendricks and George Jones. Quite the show we've had this evening. And I'm going to finish the final section, fellas, by repeating a tweet that AFC Wimbledon tweeted out about 4 hours ago, judging by my clock on my computer. First team, 1-3-2. Academy, under-18s, 1-3-2. AFC Wimbledon ladies, 1-7-0. Tick, tick, tick. It's been a good weekend.
Phenomenal.
It's been huge for the club. The 18's got a good win there in the top half of their league before it splits over Christmas. You know, the first team, first win of the season. The ladies won 7-0 in the cup. They got a massive home game against Leighton Orient on Wednesday against Carl Shorten. You know, it's great for the club this weekend, and hopefully we can build on that. And with the stadium news late last week, it's really starting to build momentum, and hopefully it can carry on.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too.
Good. Looking ahead to fixtures, leasing.com, obviously, against Leighton Orient. That. Just totally skip it. Don't want to discuss it. Fine.
Yeah, move on.
Okay, we'll move on. George, sorry, George, mate. We've got to move on.
Sorry, buddy. You can go for your attendance record on that one, but we're not talking about that pony trophy.
We're going to quickly mention the development squad, though, George, because I know that you like discussing that.
Yeah,
they had a couple of games last week. They played in the London Senior Cup against the Metropolitan Police. They drew 0-0, went through on penalties. You know, got what we needed, and we're away to Greenwich Borough or Cray Valley Paper Mills in the next round.
Yeah, Cray Valley Paper Mills. They made it to the final of Vase, was it, last year?
Yes, they got through to the FA Vars final. Yeah. You know, so they're a good team, good non-league pedigree. So it'll be a good test for our youngsters when we play them, probably in November now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had the charity game on Thursday, and we raised a lot of money. The club passed its target for what we needed to raise for Antonio Walker. And that's such an important thing that, you know, it was so good the club did that. Mark Robinson, who's now with the first team, and Michael Hamilton, who's head of the academy, deserve huge credit for what they've been able to do in very short space of time, raising close to £6,000 for the boy. And also, you know, looking at Loan Watch, it was very successful. Zach Robinson scored this weekend for Basingstoke. Jack Rudoni played for Tonbridge Angels. And Reuben Collins also at Basingstoke, you know. Our young players are doing so well this season.
Tommy Wood, what's happened to him?
He's at Leatherhead and he scored this weekend.
Okay.
You know, these are young players. All our young players out on loan are doing well, impressing at their clubs.
Ayub
Asal is playing at Metropolitan Police. He's doing okay.
Okay.
And it's just these players are going out, getting experience playing men's football.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be great for their development when they come back either late this season or next year or even the year after that, in the case of some of them, ready for first team football. In fact, they'll have 50 to 100 senior men's games under their belt. That can only
How many?
50. If they're out
50
on loan,
to 100?
If they're out on loan for 2 or 3 years, they'll get 50 or 100 games.
Okay.
And, you know, when they come back, that'll be a huge, huge aid to their development. And they'll come back first team ready when they're 21, 22.
That's a big ask.
Yes, it is.
To jump from non-league men's football to league men's football.
No, but that's the thing, because it'll be people like Jack Rudoni, who's on loan at the Ryman, or Tommy Wood on loan in the Ryman. They're out on loan in the Ryman this year.
How many leagues difference is Ryman to League 2? But League 1?
Yeah, it's a fair few, but I'm saying next year they'll be in the conference.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, great if they are.
Jack Rudoni, Tommy Wood, they'll be able to be in the conference.
George, great if they are. Let's hope they are.
And I hope they can as well, and I'm sure they will be, because that's what they need at this stage of their development, and I think they'll be able to get that, because they're doing so well at that level.
I'm just trying to be keeping my feet to the ground. I don't want to go too crazily enthusiastic about stuff right now, okay? I just want to calm it just a touch.
There is a real yin and yang in the studio tonight, I tell you. Of course, it is the Southend game next week. I'm going to say that's a massive game. Is that a massive game, George?
Yeah, it's a huge, huge 6-pointer. They're the only team below us apart from Bolton. But the thing is, I know Mark's scoffing, but...
No, I'm not scoffing. It's just, it's October and we're talking 6-pointers. That's how rubbish our season has been.
But I think it's hard when you're in the relegation zone, though, right? And we've had this discussion a lot on the station today, and I'm just going to recap the argument that we've had. And this was regarding the Premier League. Now, I know we can't compare the Premier League to League One at all, but
We Wimbledon are on the same foothold right now than Man United are.
No,
bear with me. We are. Bear with me. Man United, over the last 15 years, have had unparalleled success. And right now, they're hitting a level of mediocrity that they and that the majority of fans have never experienced before. We, as AFC Wimbledon, since 2002, have had unparalleled success. And we are now hitting a level of mediocrity that the majority of fans are not used to. So you can compare Man United with AFC Wimbledon, as crazy as that sounds, at the moment. So you talk about Premier League, we aren't Premier League. It doesn't matter what league you're in, if you're in the Swiss League, if you're in League Two, if you're in League One, if you're in the Ryman North or wherever, we've got to just focus about the teams around us. Like Man United are going to be focusing on whatever their next match is now coming up. They just lost to Newcastle. Yeah. Unlucky for them.
But that's the thing. I think for us, we're counting down from whatever points we think we need for safety. That's what we've got to do.
Yeah,
we've got to look at the teams around us. And right now, we're 21st in the league table. We went into this weekend, just gone, 6 points from safety. We're now 3 points from safety. We've got Southend, who are the only team below us apart from Bolton, who I think we can pretty much write off.
No, I wouldn't yet.
well, getting towards that stage of, you know, where you they are right
you
now.
You wouldn't write off Bolton?
No, not yet.
No?
Not until they're
minus
not
9
until,
points.
It doesn't matter. Not until they are physically got the R next to their name, I'm not writing
off
anybody.
I get that argument, but surely you have to look at...
No. They're fighting for their lives. Yeah. And until they've got the R next to their name, they will be fighting for their lives.
Okay.
But even more so, and that's the case then, you're looking at teams who we need to pick up points off. And Southend are one of the teams at the bottom who we...
I think we can pick off points off anyone if we actually turned up every week, George.
That is possible, but realistically, Southend is a game
no,
we need
I'm
to be getting
No, I'm not buying that.
From.
I'm not buying that. Sorry, George, I can't buy that. We are good enough, if we wanted to be, we are good enough to beat Peterborough. We're good enough to beat Sunderland. We're good enough to beat Coventry. We are. Don't talk about budgets or anything like that to me. It just doesn't wash. Bayern Munich lost to Hoffenheim on the weekend. Newcastle just smacked Man United, okay? Okay, the score was only 1-0, but actually watching the game, Newcastle did quite boss the game. Yeah. Norwich beat City. Wolves just beat City. Little teams do better than big teams on quite a regular occasion.
They did, and I totally see your point. Norwich did beat Manchester City, but we are about, what, 3 games on from that, and they've just been beaten by a relegation rival in Villa. So, and this comes down to what you want as a fan.
It's 90 minutes on a pitch, show some heart, and then we will judge.
But even based on that, Southend's a big game, because if we beat Southend...
Of course, I'm not disputing this.
If we beat Southend, we move significantly clear of them, and with because Tranmere are playing in the Sky Sports game on Sunday, we could move level on points with safety come 5 p.m. Saturday. And that's why it's huge, because if we go from where we were this time last week...
The thing what I'm trying to dispel right now, George, to be really, really blunt, and please forgive me for being this blunt, but we've got to dispel the fact that we should be beating teams just in and around the relegation
zone.
And I'm saying that phrase because Nick loves that phrase of in and around. But we can't just focus on them. We've got to be able to nick points off the teams up above.
And I agree, we do need to do that.
Above.
But there's no point beating...
We have the capability
yes,
as well.
And we should. But there's no point beating a side like Peterborough had we beaten them last week if you're going to lose to the team that you're fighting to finish against this season.
Who cares? Southend have been losing every match.
I know, but they're going to turn it around at some point. Like Bolton, you think Bolton
no,
will. Yeah, and I know. I can't believe I said that.
Until they've got the R next to their name, they're going to continue fighting, but they are not going to turn it around in the next couple of weeks until they actually appoint Henrik Larsson or Sol Campbell as their manager.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I think we do need to take advantage of beating Southend when we can in case they do turn it around and, you know, pull away towards safety towards the end of the season. We need to pick up points where we can now in the games which are we are more likely to get points than other games.
No, I don't... Sorry, again, you can only focus on the match that's in front of you and you've got to win that game.
Yeah, no, I agree. But we are more likely to get something against Southend than we will the following week against Portsmouth.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so on that note, George, I'm going to break this little tete-a-tete up. As much as I am actually genuinely enjoying it, we're running out of time. So I want to just get your opinions both on the game next week and how you see it going.
Okay.
Mark?
George, okay, fine. I think we're going to win. That's it.
Easy.
Yeah.
George?
I think it's close, but I think we'll scrape a win.
I think we'll win. I don't think it's going to be a one goal difference in it. I think because at the moment, Southend, and I've been watching the highlights of Southend quite considerably with really close eyes at the moment. And their heads are so low right now, they are actually dragging them through the mud behind them. This is one team that I've seen with zero confidence. Mm.
And that's what worries me.
Why?
Because I think they have to turn it around at some point. They just have to. And that could be next week. Next week, the most important thing is we get a good solid start and we're able to build on it and try and get a
win. Let's just win.
What a way to finish the show. Let's just win. Let's just finish the apple strudel cake the apple cake that Mark brought in. It's the FC Wimbledon fan show on Love Sport. We'll see you next Sunday at 8 p.m.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.